We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Now, I'm fairly confident that the first time I heard these words, or at least paid attention to them about 15 years ago, I, along with many other people, misunderstood what St. Paul was really saying. It seemed to me that St. Paul said that in the end, everything would be okay. It was sort of this feel-good statement that whatever suffering we might endure, God will somehow correct it or even make it up to us. But over the years, as I've grown in my faith, prayer, and understanding of Scripture, I realize now that that's not quite what St. Paul means by those words. To understand what he truly means, we have to take a step back with all things, put them into their proper context. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul is essentially talking about the need for every Christian to develop a deep love and trust in God, especially in the person of Jesus Christ. And for those words of Romans 8:28 and following to be true, we must first believe and understand that God has a plan not only for us as individuals or even as a people, but for all of creation. We heard this in the reading a few weeks ago, and now today we're reminded that that plan has been in action from the very beginning of time. Because in those next two verses, St. Paul says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." So let's break that down just a little bit. Because really, this is the essence of God's plan for every one of us. Every one of us who have heard the name of Jesus Christ and have come to know him as the Son of God, the one who will do everything to help us conform our lives to his. And by conforming our hearts to his, in doing that, we become more like Christ. We begin to trust like him, to endure difficulty and suffering like him, to be joyful like him, to love like him, to sacrifice like him, to make a gift of ourselves like him, and ultimately, we hope and pray, to be glorified like him. This is really the key to understanding the words of that verse. All things work for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. If you and I allow that love of God to penetrate our hearts, if you and I enter a deep and meaningful relationship with Christ, his Son, then we'll begin to trust that whatever God allows to happen in this life is just one piece of a much larger puzzle of which only God can see the entire picture. And therefore, those of us who love God and know that he loves us immensely, we'll trust him. We'll believe that God desires whatever is in our best interest. And despite whatever misfortune we or others may encounter in life, God can and will bring good from it, even if it's not clear to us in this moment how he's going to do it. Trusting God means being at peace with whatever he decides for our lives, whatever he allows to occur. But we do that because we know that he loves us. Easier said than done. Trust me, I know. So how do we grow in our ability to love God and to trust him? Well, I think the first step is in our first reading. to be like King Solomon and to pray for that gift of humility, to admit that we're not in control, that we don't always know what's best for us, we don't always know what's best for everybody else, and ask God for wisdom, true wisdom. Now, wisdom isn't the same thing as just intelligence or having knowledge about a lot of things. True wisdom, the type that God gives through the Holy Spirit, is that which allows us to use our knowledge to discover, to search for the true meaning of things that is often hidden. It allows us to see how everything fits together and has its place in God's plan, and then to make our right decisions according to that plan. To ask God for wisdom is to ask for the ability to see how the events of our life, both good and bad, are but that small piece of the puzzle that God's assembling. When that puzzle is complete, it will show forth the glory of God's love for us, the ways in which He has, is, and always will provide for us, the way which, in the end, He has planned to raise us to eternal glory. I think it's safe to say that all of us, whether we're aware of it or not, have a deep longing for peace in our hearts. And the key to having this peace, especially in times of difficulty or trouble, is to trust that God has a plan and that He's actively working to bring that plan about. And as He does that, He gives us every grace that we need to cooperate with His plan. We also believe that He doesn't just give that grace to some and not to others. He gives it to everyone. But the truth is, not all of us accept it. But when we do accept that gift of God's grace and allow it to conform us to the image of Christ the Son, then we become more fully the children of God that we were meant to be. We become more aware of God's immense love for us. And when we believe in that love, it really takes root in our hearts, then the next few verses of Paul's letter that we'll hear next week make even more sense. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor present things nor future things, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other creature will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, slowly over these past 15 years, I've grown in my knowledge of this truth. And so I can stand up here and say with full confidence that it's true. All things do work for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And this is really that pearl of wisdom, pearl of great price that's worth selling everything we have in order to buy it. It's worth giving all of ourselves to finding it and possessing it. Now, believing in those words and being able to live by them is really the greatest treasure ever known. And it might take us a long time to get there. It's taking me a while. But I know that even though I have a long way to go, I still have hope. I still have hope because I'm not done learning and God is not done teaching me how to trust Him. And I'm certainly not done praying for wisdom and humility, because the older I get, the more I realize I need them both a whole lot more. And I'm also not done asking God to reveal to me how much He loves me. Because as much as I've learned, I know that I've only scratched the surface. But I have hope. I have faith. I believe that God has a plan for my life. And in that plan, all things work for good. What about you? Do you believe that? If you do believe that, what are you doing to help others believe that to be true as well? And if you don't believe it, if you're not quite there yet, are you willing to open your heart enough to allow God to prove to you that His words are, in fact, true? Just ask Him. Ask Him to show you that those words are true. Ultimately, it's a choice that you and I make to believe or not to believe, to trust or not to trust, to hope or not to hope, to conform your heart to His or to live your life by your own rules. And whatever choice you make in that regard, that choice will determine your peace, your happiness, and your future. Not only for right now, but for all of eternity. The choice is yours. Choose well.